year's weather conditions have posed challenges for farmers across the country, first with a wet and cold winter, followed by a long, hot and very dry summer. In this podcast, Dr. Liz Jennifer talks to challenge sheep farmer Matt Blythe about the forward planning he's now having to do following the hot weather.
Hello, my name's Liz Jennifer. I work for AHDB Beef and Lamb, and I'm here having a chat with Matt Blythe, who's a challenge sheep farmer from West Sussex. And we're here talking to him about his plans for the autumn and winter, and particularly after this extremely dry summer. Hello, Matt. Can you please tell me a bit about the background to your farm? So things like area, sheep numbers, do you have any cattle?
The Didling Farm was bought by the family in 1976. We had a big change 10 years ago, and now we are lambing 800 ewes this year. And we holding all our own replacements and some spare ewe lambs. So we hold somewhere around 400 a year. And we have a small group of cows and calves, 12 of each. And we do some contract grazing this year.
And what are your main breeds? What breeds of sheep do you have?
Well, main breeding is Clynes and Clyne Cross Aberfields. Basically doing the hill stratification system, but all on farm. Then the offspring off that are then put to a terminal sire.
And what rams are you using for them?
We're using Abermaxes this year.
Which are Texel
crossed Charolais.
Okay. And so the cattle grazing is relatively new, isn't it? So that was coming in this year.
The cattle came in this year. Been trying to do it for the last 4 years. Struggled to find a farmer that had a mindset similar to myself that would do it on a pence per head per day or a pence per growth rate, which we're doing a bit of each at the moment, and it's been very successful even in a dodgy year like this.
And also because you're involved in challenge sheep at the moment, but you're involved in KPI projects, so you've been monitoring your ewe body condition score for quite a few years now. So has it been an exceptionally difficult year for condition, do you think? What is that telling you at the minute?
The ewe condition after lambing was okay. The ewes seem to look after themselves. We seem to have more effect in the lambs than we did in the ewes. But after weaning, as we've come drier, I believe that air condition has dropped off, which normally it would rise more.
And you've got on the farm, you've got some herbal lays, haven't you, and white clover.
Yep.
So they did quite well.
The herbal lays have done very well this year. The plantain and the chicory have really stuck up to themselves. And you can see the lays that we've tailored over the last 2 or 3 years have held their own massively.
So Matt, when did the sort of hot weather really start to become a challenge? So you said about herbal lays really holding up, but when did you sort of notice that it was going to be a challenging few months?
Once we'd got our silage reserves made, so we knew we were safe for the winter, and using our Pharmax package that was used through the KPI project and getting our heads around it, we started to realise that things were going to get slightly tight from probably mid-June. We could see the effects if we were not going to see any performance in rain. So we started grazing ground, which was going to make our surplus silage. So we started making decisions middle of June onwards that we were going to get tight. We were hoping we were going to make it later in the year, but decisions were starting to be made over weaning dates, etc.
Did you wean earlier, or what did you do weaning wise?
We weaned close to the 12 weeks as we dared.
Okay.
So some of the lambs were weaned at probably nearer 11. So we took a decision to get the ewes away from the lambs to start prioritising the ewes as soon as we could.
But you were also quite fortunate that you were putting lambs onto reasonable crops as well, weren't you? So you had some crop to put them on.
Yeah. So, but that again come from planning that we had enough silage made that we could start making the decisions from that middle of June, probably from that 8 week point when the lambs were 8 weeks, 9 weeks old, we started making plans and decisions then.
And so you still do rotational grazing, don't you? So do you think that helped this year?
I think the rotational grazing, especially now as we've had a bit of rain, that bounce back, we're starting to get a wedge in front of the sheep that they're not grazing off to move on to.
So you'd be, how long would you generally be in paddocks?
We were moving on a 2-day basis, which normally would be a 4-day basis.
Okay. And so, and then number of days before you got back to that paddock?
Some of them we were grazing earlier than what we would like because we got so dry, but this year we were on a 20-day rotation.
Okay. And so you mentioned the grazing cattle earlier, so obviously you mentioned that this wasn't the best year to bring in that number of animals. So no. what did you do with them?
We started off modelling in Pharmax, and we believe we could bring in about 120 head of young cattle.
That was early in the year, wasn't
it? That was early in the year. That was in April.
Yeah.
So we planned it through, and the year before we sold grass off the field. So using that information, using my experiences and using the Pharmax model, we worked out we could hold this number of these 120 kilo calves. We got, by the end of May, we had 100 head on farm and it was looking really good. By the end of June, we was down to 60 head.
Right.
We had more of their cattle in our building, so we just took them from outdoors and brought them indoors. But we've been able to hold out 17 head of cattle even now.
Okay.
Which has worked.
Will you probably graze anything again this autumn with the cattle, or they'll be in sheds now?
They will, the rest of them will stay in the buildings now. But the big advantage we've had of them is that surplus grass that we should have made to silage, they were able to help us deal with that.
And so you got paid for someone to make, use that rather than pay for it to be into silage?
Yes.
So Matt, you've mentioned Pharmax a few times, so can you just give us a bit of background on what Pharmax is?
Pharmax is a grassland budgeting software which was developed in New Zealand. I think New Zealand government, some research had involvement in building.
Yeah, ag research would be involved, yeah.
You brought it over here in about 2012 to help you with a project or two. KPI project was part of it. And we've been playing with it and helping develop it into a UK version ever since. The big advantage I find with it doesn't just monitor, we can predict forwards. The biggest advantage I find with it predicting forwards is we can do these scenarios or what-if models with it. So what if we bring 100 head of cattle in it? What if we go through a dry point? And seeing what effects that would have to our supply and demand. And the other big advantage, which we're all still trying to learn, is getting it down to a cost per hectare basis, so we can see if it improves or hinders our income.
And so you've been using that to run scenarios for this season. So when you use it to monitor, don't you? So that involves what, pasture cover reading every month ish.
Yeah, this year traditionally we've been trying during the peak of the grass season, growth season, I'd measure every other week. Because we've been so dry this year, I've been measuring nearly every week.
And that's with a compressed forward stick, not a plate meter.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of the plate meters.
I break them.
I think they're an expensive tool.
And also with grass as the short as it is this year, I'm not sure they would have done a lot of reading.
No, a bit of stubble after silaging as well seems to have an effect.
And so then, you'd be doing pasture cover readings, then you'd be recording animal numbers and growth rates and...
Yeah, animal numbers, the ewes are the easiest ones to take, and we take their weight points at strategic point of the year. So what you would say with KPI points, Liz, you would say 8 weeks weaning, pre-tupping, using them points as a... Every year on year, we'll put information in for the ewes. We try and put the average weight took out of my management program for the lambs and inject that in every month to give us a point of how well they're growing. So we input that data. I try and input that data the first of every month, but the grass growth goes in every week.
And that, as you said, it's just all that's trying to do is get you an idea of what supply. So what is coming in from generally grass? I know you do feed other things. We'll talk about that in a minute. But an idea of supply, isn't it? So what animals have you got eating things on your farm? So it's a simple-ish supply and demand calculation, but Pharmax is just doing it for you, really.
Yeah. Yeah, you could do it quite happily, do it with a pen and paper, but I'll get some nice fancy graphs out of it.
We always love a graph. So in terms of, you have historically fed some creep, don't you, to lambs, but have you increased the decisions around that this year? What happened?
The decisions early on was not to feed creep, which was probably a mistake in hindsight, but hindsight is a wonderful thing. We had enough grass going forwards and we were planning to sell the lambs on the store market.
Yeah.
But then as we came dry, and this was the help made the decision to wean slightly on time, was we were getting short of grass. We had to split the lambs out that were close to finishing because we couldn't see a store market and make the decision to put a concentrate feed into those lambs. But also given the benefits of that the grass we had available had to go into the ewes to help next year.
Okay. So it's about you... As soon as that weaning decision is taken, you obviously with your body condition scoring and your ewes, your historical information, you can go, right, well, we've got this group of ewes that need some feed to pull their body condition score back up, ready for topping in a few months' time. So you've pulled some lambs inside as well?
Yeah. Once we realised that Pharmax was forecasting a negative effect going up to topping, we would try to work out how to get around this so we don't impact on next year's lambs. And one of the things we worked out was the lambs that was closest to finishing that were still on food outside, we would bring in and get them out of the sunshine and get them into a cooler area so they would eat a bit more.
Yeah.
Which has had a major effect.
So what growth is it? So you've seen a growth rate impact or benefit of that?
200 grams a day.
Benefit or?
Benefit of bringing them indoors. The lambs outside seem to stall. Even though they were eating creep and eating volume, they seemed to be going for the shade during most of the day.
Yeah.
With the lambs inside that were always in the shade, access to food, their growth rates went up.
And so you've sort of done a combination, haven't you? You're thinking of selling culls as well, have you got to that point?
The culls are destined to go any day now. We got them pulled out rapidly. Normally we'd try and sell them the best off every month or every... so on,
yeah.
But this year we are putting the whole lot on the market in one go.
And have you culled hard, or are you just used it as an opportunity? Okay, so you're removing sheep off the system, aren't you? So, and you mentioned you've got some ewe lambs running, or you've retained, and you're planning to sell some. Have you got markets for them, or
we are trying to find markets at the moment? Unfortunately, we had markets for we wanted to run them on to being shearlings and sell them as shearlings. Unfortunately, the shearlings we ran on last year into this year to sell now, the market has gone dead and we're struggling to sell them.
Okay.
But there seems to be more of an opportunity to sell ewe lambs, so we're looking at denumbering the ewe lambs as well as trying to get rid of the shearlings.
So you have the option to retain some, but this is not probably the year that you might need to boost your flock numbers.
No, exactly.
Okay, so it's just trying to find different markets for them. So in terms of what did Pharmax, in terms of the scenarios that you ran through, what was the sort of, I suppose, was it a combination that was having the greatest benefit, or did you see one of those that was going to have the biggest benefit, you think, and has that happened?
When we run all the different parts of the scenario, we saw every bit we looked at had a positive benefit. By selling the culls a month early had a benefit. By selling 100 ewe lambs had a benefit. Everything had a benefit moving forwards, but until we combined every bit of information, we could not see a positive effect.
So it's sort of like a bit of a marginal gain, isn't it? You've got to keep, it's hopefully additive. So everything you do is because you're either affecting demand, aren't you? You're reducing demand by selling animals off the farm or getting them off grass, or you're increasing supply by putting in creep or... So it's everything is having a benefit, isn't it? The ambition is then when you next do your pasture cover reading, it's starting to go in the right direction.
Yeah, so, you know, there we've had rain. We're looking at targeting some fertiliser in the right places to get the response that we want to help get us a wedge moving forwards. We've got the lambs on hoppers being fed, we've brought food into the system to help fill that gap. But it's just prioritising the right decision at the right point.
And so again, the Pharmax file, as you mentioned, it predicts forward. So it's predicting forward a sort of an impact on your pasture cover all the way to...
All the way to April next year.
Okay. So again, you'll be monitoring it in the winter, won't you? But
yeah.
We're ever optimistic that's a worst case scenario, but that could be reality, isn't it? If, yes, there's been rain, but we've still got quite a lot of grass to grow in a relatively short amount of time.
Yeah, we're so far off, if you look where we were, how much grass we had this time last year, and we know we got down to the bottom of our target line where we want to be in Christmas, January time last year, but we haven't, we're not above our target line at the same point.
So you're about, you must be about 500 kilos pasture cover down to what you normally do.
Yeah, to where we want to be, we're about 500 kilos, but compared to this time last year, I think we're about 800 kilos.
Not really a positive. I don't know what to say now. It's the positive out of that. Anyway, but the positive is that you are making active decisions. So you are, everything you're doing now is trying to get that line to come back up, isn't it?
Yeah.
The rain will help, the fertiliser will help, removing stock, putting feed in.
Yeah, everything will help, and it's trying to work out, and this is what some of the things using Pharmax, it's got all my costs in it. So it's looking what is the best scenario to have the best impact on the animals and the income to the farm.
So Matt, you sort of had you mentioned hindsight in this year that everyone just kept believing it was going to rain and it never quite did. So is the thought, so if this happened again, what would you do differently, do you reckon, now you've had some rain?
we this farm always goes through a dry spell. We always go through a dry spell from the middle of July to the start of September. So we've always planned for a dry period. We'd never planned for it this early. Looking back in hindsight, traditionally we fed creep early on. We probably should have done that. And the other thing that probably should have looked at doing was looking at the body condition score and making that decision maybe a little bit braver and maybe weaning slightly earlier if them lambs were on the creep, so we knew they'd keep growing and help get them ewes back into body condition score. The other thing we're already planning ahead is we've discovered these herbal lays or a certain mixture we've put in place the last 2 years has held out a lot better. So there's 15 hectares of that going in. It probably would have gone in anyway, but this year has convinced us it's...
I think historically, as you said, this farm is quite a dry farm anyway in the summer, isn't it? But this has just been an exceptionally dry time.
This has just been exceptionally dry. You know, we've talked about lambing dates and this, that and the other. We know we could lamb later and to potentially go to an outdoor system, but we know our biggest effect is our weaning point, and our weaning point would be too dry and have not enough grass, which would then stall our lambs. So we know there's a fine line on a normal year to when we need to wean.
That's an excellent point, which I didn't actually ask you for your lambing date. So your lamb generally middle of March, late March onwards.
Yeah, late March onwards.
And so you're, and then you're weaning sort of end of July,
start of June.
Okay.
Start of July.
Okay. Yeah, I can't do basic maths, so that's fine. So it's about that creep. And the thing you've done historically, haven't you, which is you've prioritised certain either fields which haven't performed before or groups, so thin ewes, you've been creeping lambs. So, again, it's sort of playing around with that, isn't it, as some options in the future.
Yeah, this year with the grass kicking off slightly late in the spring, we've got grass got off in front of us on certain places when it did start to grow.
Yeah.
That we took the lambs off the lays what we would normally feed creep on and put the ewes and lambs onto that. But we, in hindsight, we probably should have injected the creep.
Okay. I think it was also, we have to be, that it was such an interesting year, wasn't it? Because spring was so late.
Yeah.
When grass started to grow, it grew like bilio. Everyone went, it's just lost control, lost quality, didn't we?
Yeah.
Got back in control of that. But unfortunately, generally, the signage cuts coincided with not a lot of rain after that. And it just never quite had its chance, did it?
Well, it was 9.5 weeks from us cutting our first silage field to seeing rain.
Yeah. So we... It's not unexpected, is it, what we've seen? But okay, thank you. And because again, I mean, there's opportunities now, aren't there, with that bit of rain. And it's not because harvest has been a bit early that people have some opportunities to do that. And... I know you've been prioritising your ewes, and you mentioned they've lost probably a bit more condition than you'd like between weaning and now. Do you think you'll end up feeding them anything, or do you think you've got enough time for them to get up?
Without putting my hands on them, which is the plan for next week, at the moment I think we're going to have a good percentage of them where we need to be by tupping, but I think we ain't going to have, I think we're going to be around 75% of them in the target range for tupping.
Okay.
But we got to make that decision of what breed lines they are, because potentially if we start feeding them, we might have to feed them for a bit longer than from there to tupping, sort of thing.
Yeah. Okay. So again, so your plan, you'll go through them as a group.
Yeah, we'll go through them as the, we'll go through the whole farm. We body condition scored at weaning, and we'll body condition score the end of August. No, we're just over 6 weeks off tupping to try and make the decisions of what we do then and readjust, try and forecast ahead. Now we've had rain, how much grass we are growing, where we're back up to, and try and work out where we're going forward.
So Matt, in summary, the sort of the key messages coming out of that is that you've been monitoring, haven't you? You've been monitoring grass growth for quite a few years. So this year you had that information to probably start making decisions earlier than most people were starting to make decisions.
Yes.
And I suppose with Pharmax and your other data, you've been able to then prioritise what decisions to make first. So you very much know from past experience that you being good body condition score for tupping is really important for next year's fertility, next year's lamb crop.
Yep.
So you're involved in Channel Sheep. So what have we done, or what have you done for those Channel Sheep ewes? So these would be shearlings that came into the flock last autumn. What have you been doing with them this year?
They've had the easier ride. They've had access to the preferential grasses and stuff like that, but the biggest thing is the shearlings that come into the challenge sheep this year, so come into tup this year's first time. They're the ones that have been held back slightly with the wet spring,
yeah,
but also to keep the lambs going, they've been held back off some of the better grazing to give the ewes the priority. So it's probably not the first generation of challenge sheep ewes that have too much of an effect. It might be the sheep that come into the flock this year.
But looking at the weights that you're doing, they're looking like they're recovering. They're probably, what, 2 months behind, aren't they?
Yes.
Last year's?
Yes.
But they're recovering quickly.
They've recovered very quickly, but they are behind target. And it'd be interesting to see what effect that has on their scanning results.
Yeah.
To how much impact that growth, their bodies have burnt trying to get that growth back into them.
Yeah, so and so Channel Sheep really is looking at, we're taking in two cohorts of group of ewes, sorry, the ones that came in last autumn, the ones that came in this autumn on 12 farms across England. And so we're totaling about 8,000 ewes. And so the aim of which is to really look at lifetime performance. Obviously, we're just in the process of finishing year one. So the results, we need a few years yet, but the results are coming in. We've also got Matt's actually hosting an event for us, partly to do with Pharmax, but also we'll be talking about Channel Sheep on the 12th of September. So if you're interested in coming to hear more about Pharmax or Channel Sheep, please contact the AHDB events team. Thanks very much, Matt, for the chat. It's probably more than a chat. Anyway, and I think it's really positive that through your experience and using Pharmax and various things, you've sort of not necessarily survived the year unscathed. None of us have, but you certainly feel a bit more in control of the decisions.
Yeah, I feel like we're planning and always changing our minds, but that's farming and the weather, but we're trying to lessen the impact.
Thank you very much.
If you want to find out more about how Matt is using Pharmax, he is hosting an event with Liz on Didling Farm on the 12th of September. More details about the event and the Challenge Sheep project can be found by visiting our website, beefandlamb.ahdb.org.uk. Thank you for listening.